Good morning, men. Everybody needs a good woman, right? You can't blame the government for everything, man, I'm telling you. Before I begin, I want to mention a couple of things. I have three ministries, one called TNT Ministries. We have a magazine that comes out four times a year. It's usually $15 a year. It's $10 for you in the today during this clinic. Also, I have a sign-up sheet there. If you sign up for that, I'll send one to you free. So that's one thing. The second thing here is the Sunshine School of Evangelism that started in 1990. It's a four years. We get 2 years. You get a degree in 2 years instead of four. We go 8 hours a day, Monday through Thursday. Tuition is zero. Zero tuition. My books and my radio broadcast pays for the rest of that. When they stay in the housing we have, it's $1,000. They pay $500 for the computers and the paper they use. If you're interested in that, you need to send a young man down there. We'd love to have him and love to be able to spend time with him. We have eight professors drive 1,400 miles a week, and they don't get paid a dime. Also, I have a gospel ministry, radio ministry. It's a two-minute positive aspect of the Christian life. And if you want that, just let me know. We send it out in CD. All I ask you to do is to you can advertise your congregation on there. Think about us on a mission list, if you would. We appreciate that. There's no charge for those things. Be turning to Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We're going to begin in verse 14. We're going to read about three verses. We're going to pray, and then we're going to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning hour for the Chi Mitzvah Clinic, Father. We just pray for every man in here, everyone that we might understand that we have a job to do, that we have a world that's messed up, and Jesus has put us here to make a difference. Father, help us to have the mindset, the intelligence, the guts, the tenacity to do your will. Father, we pray for each and every one of us that we might stand up and be the men called by you to do a great work. Father, help us to do that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country. He's talking about Jesus leaving. And he delivered unto them his goods. Now, when I think about delivering goods, I had a 49 Chrysler with 77,000 miles. It came in three colors, black, black, and black, and I got the black one. And I thought about giving that or leaving that to somebody. I just wouldn't leave it to anybody. It was called the Godfather Mobile. And I would drive it around the city and wear my old 1920s hat and all that. And Judy would dress up every once in a while. They won't put us in jail again, you know. That's just the way it was. But when I think about what God has delivered to us, what Jesus gave us, when we ask people, say, what did Jesus give us? Well, one thing he gave us, he delivered to us his goods. Number one is the church. Yeah, it's his church, but he gave it to us. Whatever your congregation is doing, it's a reflection of what you're doing. The reason our country's the way it is right now is because the church is not doing the job that it should do. We're not standing up for what we should be standing up. We're not preaching morality the way we should. We're not standing for the righteousness of that, and we're playing games. We need to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so what is Jesus saying about your congregation? He's saying it's a loving congregation. It's fighting. It's the Hatfields and the McCoys. Is it evangelistic, a church? Is it dead? Is it alive? Whatever Jesus is saying, guess what? It's your responsibility. It's in your hands. And don't put it on the preacher. Well, it's the preacher's fault. He did it. I mean, that's what it is. Jesus, I didn't have anything to do with it. Listen, people, we're all part of the church. He delivered unto us his goods. He also delivered unto us his book. Right here. Now, we can do what most of us do is leave it on the shelf, let it collect dust. Or we can get into it and read it. When I was in Catholicism, I knew Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed fruit of your womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and the time of our death. But I did not know one verse of Scripture. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know John 3:16. We have been delivered the church. We've been delivered His Word. And what are you doing with His Word? Every preacher that comes up here at the pulpit can either change it, delete it, or preach it. What we need is people in the pulpits of America right now grabbing this holy book, this manna from heaven, and preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching it straight and preaching it true and standing for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers, we've got to stand up. We have to make a difference in this world. It's up to us. You can't wait on somebody else. I don't care how old you are. As long as you're breathing, you've got a place in the kingdom. And as long as you're breathing, you've got a job to do. And that's not, you can't die. You can't give that to somebody else. You have to take it and use it yourself. Now look what Jesus said. He gave us He delivered unto us as His goods. And He said, unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to several ability. And straightway He took His journey. If you've been born again, God has given you a talent. You say, hey, preacher, I ain't got no idea what that talent is. Well, you better find out. You better find out what your talent is. You better find out what God's given you, and you better start using it. He said, according to several ability. You know why people don't get any more? It's because they don't use what they've got. You don't use the talent that God's already gave you. I like this when people say, well, I just can't remember Scripture. That's a lie. I was going to have you raise your hand, but I don't want you to raise your hand because you feel bad. They say, well, I can't remember anything. Well, what's your Social Security number? What's your Army number? 2-3-4-4-1-5-7-9. I know what mine is. And that's a long time ago, brother. You can remember, but you can remember anything you want to remember. You love Him. You love Jesus, you love His Word, then you get into His Word and you'll remember His Word. Now look what He says here. Then he that had received the 5 talents and went and traded them, same and made them 5 other talents. Likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that received the 1 talent digged a hole in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, talent is what my teachers over there at KCC told me, and this must be Alan Dunbar because I'm just going to blame him for it. It was 6,000 times a day's wage. So we have $100 for a day or a day's wage. It would be 600,000, $1.2 million, $3 million. You say, wait a second, preacher. I ain't got $600,000. I don't have $1.2 million. I don't have $3 million. Listen, folks, you have a talent in your life, whatever it is. Now, I've got 1 talent. They say, well, that ain't much, you know. I can preach. And yet people say that's not much of a talent. The problem is that we have to use what we have, what God's gave us. Now, I want to tell you about a guy. His name was Virgil Adams. And old Virgil, first time he came in the assembly, he was sitting on the right-hand side. And he called me over and said, and he talked this way, Hey, preacher, come here. I said, yeah? I want a Bible. I said, okay, I'll get you a Bible. Went to the bookstore, got Virgil a Bible. Next week, give it to him, and it was like a pigeon had done something in his hand. He looked at it. Hey, I want a bigger print Bible. I mean, here I'm giving him a free Bible. The turkey don't have any sense. I mean, take the Bible, man. Be happy with it. So I go back to the Bible bookstore, and I say, I want a big print Bible. I get him a big print Bible, come back, and he still don't like it. I give it to him. I said, how's that? Oh, all right. I want a bigger print Bible. So I went back and I told that guy at the Bible bookstore, I don't care if I have to have a forklift in here. I want the biggest Bible that God. I don't care. I mean, if it's that big, I want it because I ain't coming back here. So I bring that big print Bible. I mean, it must have weighed 25 pounds. I put it in his lap. He opened up the Bible. And I turned to John 3:16, and I said, "Read that Bible, Virgil." You know what he said? "I can't read." That's when I wanted to put the five fingers of fellowship around his throat. That guy couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't talk right. He didn't have a job. But he had something that we don't have, a heart for Jesus. That guy won more people than anybody. He would stand by me as they go out the door and he'd say, "You've been baptized? You've been baptized?" You know, he had to watch him, and he couldn't. He didn't talk right. And they would sick, the deacons would sick him on me all the time. And they'd be sitting back in the back laughing, you know. And he'd come up to me, and he wanted a preaching license. And come up to me and say, "I want a preaching license." I thought he said fishing license. And so I told him to go to Kmart. Yeah, and he got mad. And I said, "Well, then go to Walmart. I don't care, you know." That guy was something else, I'm telling you. He would drive me up the wall. I mean, he would just drive you crazy. But he won more people than I ever saw. One day I got a phone call, and Virgil had passed away. He had a heart attack. And I was on the steps crying, and my wife come down and said, "What are you crying about?" I said, "Virgil passed away." And she said, "Well, I thought he aggravated you to death." I said, "He did, but I loved him, man. That guy won more." Listen, guys, he couldn't read, he couldn't write, he didn't have a job, he stayed in a group home. But he loved Jesus. And he didn't have any trouble. He had a childlike attitude. I don't care who he came up to, he'd be talking about Jesus. I remember having his funeral, and it was the biggest funeral I ever had. He made an effect on people wherever he was. In fact, the police, he used to ride his bicycle around town. They had to take his bicycle away because he's dangerous. Yeah, so everybody knew him. Yeah, he was dangerous, man. He's dangerous with the bicycle. And I'll never forget the funeral director. It was in a small town. The funeral director said to me, because they run the ambulance service, he said, "I got to tell you something about Virgil, a story about Virgil." I said, "Well, give it to me, you know." He said, "We're having a double funeral." He said, "Virgil, especially in the wintertime, he'd act like he's having appendicitis on somebody's porch. He'd fall on somebody's porch, you know, and they'd call the ambulance service, so he'd go to the hospital and get a good night's sleep and get some food." He said, "We were having this." He said, "My brother come home from college, and he was driving the ambulance. I was in the back, and my brother didn't know about Virgil. So we picked him up, and he said, went up to the porch, and Virgil would go, 'Oh, I don't think I will make it now,' you know." So they got him in the back of the ambulance, and they said they got up the stop sign. He said, bailiff was telling me, he got so aggravated, he's mad because he's got two funerals, got to mess with Virgil, that he took out his pocket knife. And he said to Virgil, he said, "It looks like it's worse than it's ever been, Virgil. I'm going to have to operate right here." He said Virgil went out the back of the ambulance, and his brother didn't know anything about it. Anyway, I was doing that funeral, and he'd always say before I got up to preach, he said, "I'm looking at you, preacher. I'm preaching straight." I preached that funeral, and I remember what I said at the end. I told him about that, and I said, "No, I'm looking at you, Virgil, because you were a light that shined on this earth. People do not put anybody down. You don't know what they will do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you, each one of you, have no excuse for not serving Jesus Christ." Now look what happens here. He gave five talents to one, two to another, one to another. And the one went and digged a hole in and buried his talent. Can you imagine that? Going over there and just digging a big hole and just throwing his talent in there? That's what some of you've done. That's what some in your congregation done. What is it? "I used to." I hate that "I used to." I used to sing. I used to teach. I used to. Listen, man.
not in the used to business. We're in the doing business. The Holy Spirit didn't used to be with us. He still is. We got no excuse. Now look what happens. After a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckon with them. That's the second coming, people. Jesus is going to come back. Bible said we're going to stand before him and answer for what we've done in the body. And he that had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents and said, Lord, you gave me 5 talents. Hey, I got 5 more. Look what he says. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you over ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he that had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, I got 2 more. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, what was the difference in the reward? Not one thing. I may convert 10,000 people. You may clean the building. But we'll have as much gold to walk on as I will. You'll be able to hear the heavenly choir sing just as much as I will. You'll be able to be in the presence of Jesus Christ just as much as I will. Brothers, we don't all have the same talent, but we have the same Lord. We have the same heaven, and we have the same promise of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All God wants you to do is use what you got. Give you more. Now look what happens here. Then we and he that which received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you was a hard man. Woo! I knew you was a hard man. I knew just how you was, Lord, and reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid when hid thy talent in the earth. Wait a second. Let me get it. Here it is, Lord. I didn't lose it. Now, what good is that soul going to be that you could have won when Jesus come back? What good is that talent that you could have used that you didn't use when Jesus come? Here, Jesus, here's what I could have done. Or those guys, we got one guy in the church, man. He only makes $10 a week. You know how I know? He only puts a dollar in the offering plate. Man, I'm real feel bad about that boy. We believe that, you know, one Lord, one faith, $1. On the judgment day, that dude is going to say when Jesus comes up, he said, wait a second, Jesus. I had in a money market for you. Yeah, I didn't get the car to meet you. But listen, I got it all here. Well, wait a second, Jesus. Let me get my checkbook. Let me write that. I'm going to give you the whole kit and caboodle. What good is that going to do on the judgment day? What good is it going to do for the kingdom when you strangled poor George Washington to death? It's going to do no good for the kingdom. It's going to do no good for the kingdom when you come up and say, here's the soul I could have won. Here's the building I could have fixed. Here's the construction work I could have done. Here's the soul I could have won. Listen, it'll do nothing. No good. Here's the song I could have sung. Here's the piano I could have played. Listen, brothers, we need to get our act together and get active in the church. There's no reason. People ask me, say, when are you going to retire? You got to be kidding me. I'm never retiring. As long as I can walk and scream at people, I'm going to do it. Now, if you ask people, now I want you to see this. He said servants. He's talking about Christians here. You got me? I want you to get this.
Well, we like putting up with that dude outside, you know what I mean? Man, it's always somebody else, you know? You look in the mirror and say, man, that guy looks ugly. Oh, it's me. Listen, he's talking about servants here. Now, if you ask the church about this guy, they say, oh, he meant well. You know, he didn't really mean to do bad. I mean, he didn't want to lose the talent, so he just hid it. Now, look what Jesus said. Jesus called him wicked. Wait a second. Wait, preacher. To be wicked, you got to be in sin. Well, brothers, I can't think of a greater sin than God blessing you with a talent and you not using it. Jesus called him wicked. The church may say he meant well, but Jesus didn't say that. And then he says, you slothful. How many of you ever watched Wild Kingdom? Remember Marlon? Always liked this. I love Wild Kingdom. You know Jim? Jim's in the water. And Marlon's in a boat. Right? And Marlon's saying this. Jim's having trouble with the anaconda. Did you ever see Marlon jump out and help him? I like that. Jim's having a lot of trouble with that anaconda. But Marlon ain't getting out of the boat, brothers. Well, if you talk about a sloth, if you've seen a sloth on Wild Kingdom, the sloth just hangs there, does nothing. Even a sloth will be so lazy that it won't even go and get a meal. It'll die in the tree. And a lot of you are that way. You're slothful. You're lazy. You won't go calling. Won't sing. We get in our song service in our congregation. I wish I had. I almost revert back to where I used to be. You know, I could pop them off from up there, you know, if I. They're sitting back there like this. Everybody's singing there like this. Hey, I got to tell you, I got a license to carry now. I'm doing it legal for a change. When they pull me over, I can show them the thing instead of when they used to throw me out on the hood of a car, you know. Slothful, won't go calling, won't sing, won't do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus said to him. He said, you wicked and slothful. What did he say? Servant. Servant. You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then at least at my coming I should have received my own with usury. If you can play the piano and you won't do it, teach somebody else to do it. At least God will get something out of it. If you can do anything, at least share it with somebody else so somebody can do something with it instead of it dying there. God called us to service. That's what it's all about. It's about service. It's not about being the big wig in the brotherhood. It's about serving others. That's what it's all about. And until you get that servant mentality, the church is going to go nowhere. You need to get back to your congregation and be a committee of one, making a difference. I don't care what everybody else does. I told this in the church, and I told to Judy, my wife, the Starbucks lady. Amen. I knew I'd get an amen out of that. I told her, if you fall away, you're going to go to hell by yourself. Because I ain't gone. And I don't care if there's 99 duds in the church, I am not going to be a dud. God has called us to great things. Now look what he says. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. What, you mean you can lose your talent? Absolutely. You ask any of these guys to sing. If you don't continue to sing, you'll lose it. You'll lose that edge, man. Playing the piano. You'll lose that. You lose your edge. You can lose your talent by not using it, man. I do memory work, and I teach them guys in our Bible college. They got to do a lot of memory work. I mean, they got 1,000 verses they got to learn by December. From September to December, and I'm on them like garbage, man. And they hate me. You all want to sit to the back because I spit on them and pound the table. They're all trying to get to the back. You don't go over that memory work all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. You're going to lose it. You'll lose your talent. Lose what God called you to be. Now look what he says. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. You'll lose your talent, guys. Now look what he says to him. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wait a second. Preacher, you just said that that guy was a servant, that he was a Christian. You mean you can lose your salvation? Absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and answer for what we have done. You're not going to go before Jesus and say, well, Jim Spinelli said. He said, I'm not talking to Jim Spinelli. I'm talking to you. Where are you at? What are you doing? What difference are you making in the kingdom? What are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers, I'm telling you now, we need to stand up and be the men that God has called us to be. This is no time for us to be in the chaise lounge laying around. We're in a country that's going downhill morally, and it needs men to stand up and be the men of God, not backing down, not giving up, and not giving in. And I hope to God that each one of us does that. But use the talents that God has given each one of you. You are individually made, and you fit into a puzzle. And if one of that part of that puzzle is done, it's not complete. We need to complete the work for Jesus Christ. Working together, not fighting each other. For God's sakes, I'm sick of it. Standing with each other, arm in arm, locked together. We are fighting the devil, not each other. I'm fighting Satan, man. I got a contract out on that sucker. And I don't miss. And I'm going to take him out. I pray that each one of you are ready to take him out too. Amen.